May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Anna Shijuribo, Yosef Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seat for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Vigilable Shanil Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Vigilable now entering the sanctuary. I'd like to turn it over to Son of Vigilable Barzilai Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, my title today is This Gathering Will Be Greater Than Moshe's. Well, if you turn over to Exodus chapter 3, found on page 47. Exodus 3:17, and it says, I have promised to bring you up out of your affliction in Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And you know, when it says bring you out of your affliction in Egypt, it doesn't mean you're being afflicted in Egypt, so when you get out of that place gets called Egypt, you're not going to be afflicted anymore. That's the curses that come from sin. So where will we gather? So turn over to Deuteronomy 12:5, and it says, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go." Now this is the only protected place, and so people will come here so they can be protected. So turn over to Psalms 91:1-2. And it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress. You are our Father, and you we will trust." Now this gathering spoken of by the prophets, it is coming to pass. And in order for it to come to pass, there had to be the increase of knowledge. There had to be technology. If you'd like to learn more about this gathering, I urge you to go to the Israel Says program or stay tuned for the next sermons about this great gathering. So we're going to see some of these prophecies about this gathering and about that knowledge being increased so the gathering could take place. So first I'd like to go to Matthew 24. Chapter 24, verse 14. And it says, "And this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So, you know, once that one who bears witness to all nations, which is Yisrael Hawkins, once he's finished his work, then the end will come. And also about the increase of knowledge. Daniel, if you turn over to Daniel, please. Daniel 12, verse 4. And it says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the books until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased." So, you know, the prophet Daniel prophesied that knowledge would be increased, and it is increased in these last days. And also, the winds of war had to be held back for this gathering to take place. So I looked up the greatest gathering in Gematria, the greatest gathering right there, and it comes up to number 758. Well, 758 in the Strong's Greek means ruler, leader, assembly of elders, leading man. Well, our ruler is Yahweh, and that assembly of elders is Yahweh's kingdom of priests, and our leader is Yisrael Hawkins. Praise Yahweh. Okay, so like I was saying earlier, the winds of war had to be held back for this gathering to take place. Well, in the third book of Yisrael, chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "Another Malak, messenger, ascending from the east, having the seal of the living father. This is at the same time the quartet is holding back the winds of war, waiting to release them where they can actually go out and destroy 4/5 of the earth's population." So, you know, also when Daniel was talking about knowledge will be increased, and then Matthew 24:14 says, "And then the end will come," it's showing that the quartet and, you know, all the beastly system, they will no longer, or Yahweh will no longer hold back the winds of war. If you turn over to Revelations 22, 16 to 17, and that's found on page 986. And it says, "I, Yahshua, have sent my Malak to testify to you these things in the congregation of the house of Yahweh. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who is thirsty come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So, you know, that's what the great queens of the house of Yahweh were speaking about yesterday. Now, there are two gatherings taking place right now. You know, Yahweh's gathering and Satan's gathering. You know, we have to choose to be a part of Yahweh's gathering. So I looked up 717 in Hebrew, and it means gathering. But 717 in Greek means Armageddon, meaning that, you know, the world is gathering to Armageddon while the house of Yahweh is gathering to Abel. So with that, if you all please stand. I'll turn it over to Son of Yisrael Abel, Yedidiah Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, the title of my speech today is "The Royal Kingdom of Yahweh is Sowing Seed." And as I was thinking about this speech, or getting ready for this speech, I was also thinking about the press room and about everything that the house of Yahweh has been bringing out about the house of Yahweh being established in these last days. Now, the press room was the first original sanctuary in these last days, or in this generation. So I looked up the number or the address of the press room in Gematria, and I looked up 1025 TNP Lane. And it came out to, in the Jewish gematria, it came out to 3124. In the English gematria, it came out to 2232. And in the simple gematria, it came out to 372. Now, one of these numbers you're going to have to look up for yourself. And that's going to be the last number, 372. But in the, I looked up the 3124, and it came out in the Greek. In the Greek, it came out to, it says, a slave of the high priest, Melech. And we know that word Melech, it means Malik or Malachim. And it says here, it comes from word number 4428. And it means king. It also means king, kings, kingdom. It also means royal. Now, to prove that we are the royal family and Yahweh's building a royal family, we're part of this royal priesthood, and we are the light to the world. And to prove that, turn over to Kefa 2:9, 1 Kefa 2:9, it's on page 958. 1 Kefa 2:9 is on page 958. And it says, but you are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And remember, we were trying to figure out or prove that we are the royal priesthood and Yahweh's building a royal kingdom. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And that word nation, go to the side note B. It says, gathering those called out. In the house of Yahweh, Yahweh is doing a great gathering in this generation. Now, it says, a particular people that you would show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Yahweh has truly called us out of the darkness of this world, to his marvelous light. And to prove that, let's turn over to Matithiah 5:14. Turn over to Matithiah 5:14, and that's on page 731. Matithiah 5:14, You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It says, it is then no longer fit for anything except to be cast out, to be trodden under the feet of the man, or of man. It says, you are the light. So it's proven here, it says, you are the light of the world, a city which is set on a hill, cannot be hidden. Now, we know that the house of Yahweh, in the scripture, it shows us to be a mountain or a hill. And we know that that is the house of Yahweh. It's the light of the world. So it's proving here that you are the light of the world. All of us in the sanctuary, and that is listening to the house of Yahweh, studying the laws of Yahweh, practicing the laws of Yahweh, we are the light to the world. Now, this word in Hebrew, 44:28, it also means prince, and it means a king, and royal. Now, let's turn over to Isaiah 62:1-3. And we're proving here, let's see what Yahweh says we will be in the sight of him. Turn over to Isaiah 62, verses 1 through 3, and it's on page 569. And it says, Isaiah 62. Verses 1 through 3, it says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation like a burning lamp. It says the Gentiles will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name which the mouth of Yahweh will name. It says you will also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yahweh, a royal mitre in the hand of your father. And this is only if we be obedient and practice the laws of Yahweh. And we do this by obeying our authorities, obeying the person or the people who are put in office over us. It's also obeying the priests, the kohanas, also obeying every person, anybody that is put over us. Obeying our peers, the people who we work with, not treating them with disrespect. This is how we earn this crown of glory. Now, it also meant, another number was 2232, and it meant, in the Hebrew, it meant to sow, scatter seed, sow. It meant plant seed, scatter, set, sow, sowed, sower, sowing, sown, sows, and yielding. Now, that's what the press room is doing. The press room is sowing, right? It's spreading out the literature, the message of Yahweh. And also in the Greek, it means to lead. It means I lead a governor. It means a governor or official who leads others. It means an official who leads, carries important responsibility. And Yisrael Hawkins, he carries an important responsibility, right? Okay, and it also means, it means to carry an important responsibility. It means a person or influence who leads. Now, it is to be a leader, to rule, leading as respectful influence. And Yisrael Hawkins, he is a respectful influence. He lives by the 613 laws of Yahweh. Now, We need to remember, turn over to Hebrews 13:7 for my last scripture. Hebrews 13:7, that's on page 959. Okay, Hebrews 13:7. And it says, remember those who have the rule over you. This is what we need to remember to obtain this crown of glory. It says, remember those who have the rule over you, who have set or who have spoken the word of Yahweh, the laws and the prophets, to you consider the ultimate result of their ways and follow the faith. So we need to remember, respect the people or those who have the rule over you, the authority over you. Respect them, right? And remember to keep Yahweh's 613 laws. And with that, if y'all please stand.
At this time, brothers and sisters, we'll turn the services over to the great son of Israel, Abel, the great deacon, Melchizedek Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If everyone will look over to the book of Yochanan. Book of Yochanan, chapter 1, and let's look at verse 3. Yochanan, chapter 1, verse 3. It's found on page 815. And it says, all things were done according to it, and without it, nothing was done that was done. And here it's speaking about Yahweh's plan. You know, everything that occurs is in Yahweh's plan. Okay, he knew ahead of time where he would put his house, when he would call you and so on, you know. Yahweh is in full control, all right? If we could look over to the book of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah chapter 10, and if we look at verse 6, it says, it's found on page 581, Yirmiyah 10, verse 6. It says, "There is none like you, O Yahweh. You are great, and your name is mighty in power." Okay? And Yahweh is in full control. Now, I looked up the House of Yahweh press room in the Gematria calculator. If you could see this here. All right? And you see the first, it's you can see the numbers there. Now in Jewish gematria, it equals 2379. And so I looked up 2379 in Strong's, and it means sight, visibility, you know, visible, a view or sight, all right? And it's see Hebrew 2370. And it means to see and behold. Looking, saw, see, seen, see or have a sense of sight, see, behold, witness. It also goes to 2372, which means to see, behold, gaze, looked, prophecy, and select. All right? And if you see the second number there is 1980. And 1980, the first mobile sanctuary was dedicated. And in the Two Witnesses book, Pastor talks about the dedication of the work of Yahweh by the Two Witnesses. It's page 192, and it says, "On October 9th, 1980, the House of Yahweh, Abilene, held its first services in my own home, at which time there were only 8 people present. Immediately afterward, I acquired a mobile home and began to renovate it and use it as a sanctuary. The work took approximately 2 weeks to finish. My brother Yaakov was in complete agreement with this because this was done before our separation came. Yaakov agreed that this work would be the House of Yahweh. It was in November 1980 that I called my brother, telling him that this mobile home was almost finished for use as a sanctuary, and I wanted him to come and dedicate it to the House of Yahweh on the Feast of Dedication, which that was December 2nd, 1980. And Yaakov gladly accepted this invitation and brought with him his family and other members of the House of Yahweh from Odessa. Yaakov brought the sermon that night entitled The Feast of Dedication, dedicating this work to of the House of Yahweh to Yahweh. There were 2 elders present to present this work of Yahweh, Yahweh's service. These elders were Yaakov and Yisrael. Since this time, the work of Yahweh has always been known in these last days by the same name that every inspired work of Yahweh down through the pages of history was known, the House of Yahweh. The word dedication literally means renewal. These words, dedication and consecration, refer to the renewal of the worship of Yahweh. These same words refer to the dedication of the altar and the tabernacle after the Exodus. And so you can see there that it was dedicated in 1980. And 1980 in the Strong's, in Hebrew, it means to go, come, walk, to go, access, accompany, become, and goes to 1981. It comes from 1981. And that means also to go, brought, come, go, walk, and walking. All right? And so the House of Yahweh got the charter from the state of Texas. It was granted in 7-21-1981. All right? and the house of Yahweh was recognized, and the establishment of the house of Yahweh was on February 4th, 1983. Okay? And, in a second. All right, so you can see here that the third number there is 330. And 330 there, 330 means linen, all right? And if you remember in the book of Daniel, if everyone will look over to the book of Daniel, Daniel 12 and verse 6, all right? It says, "And one said to the man clothed in linen, who on the future day is teaching, how long will it be to the end of these wonders?" Okay? And 330 in the Greek means to thrive or flourish again, revive. In the book of Matithiah, in the book of Matithiah, chapter 16, Matithiah chapter 16 and verse 18, it's found on page 744, Matithiah 16, verse 18. And it says, "Also I say to you, who are Kepha, whose name means rock, that upon this rock, Yahweh, unity, I will build the house, family, the house of Yahweh, and the gates of Sheol, the grave, will not prevail against it." So also, the two witnesses in the Gematria calculator, the first number there is, the first number you can see there is 2379, and we just saw one over it. But the second number there is 1146, and the third one is 191. And 1146 means a ring finger. All right. If you look over to the book of Exodus, Exodus 31 and verse 18, it says, "And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moshe the tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of Yahweh." And that number there goes to 1147, which means a finger. Remember, the finger of Yahweh. And it goes to 1176, which means 10. Okay, it says the number 10 commonly occurs in Scripture with symbolic as well as literal meaning. And remember the Ten Commandments, the sign on 603 there, the Ten Commandments, remember it was written with the finger of Yahweh there. Alright, and 1146 in Hebrew means a structure or a building. And it goes to 1129, which means to build, alright. And on 11, in Zechariah 6, verse 12 through 13, Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold a man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh." And on 11/29, that's the day that the lights were put on the Ten Commandments sign. It was finished, the Ten Commandments sign out there on 603. All right, but 11/29 here, it means to build, construct, constructed, fashion, fortified, rebuild, rebuilding, rebuilt, and restored. All right, and the last number there on the two witnesses there, in Gematria, is 191, and it means to hear, listen, give heed, grant, hear, heard, report, and understand. Okay? All right, now, in 1883, Abilene became the county seat, and Buffalo Gap used to be the county seat before Abilene, and you'll hear more about that later on in the feast. But Abilene became the county seat, but you could see, this is from Wikipedia about Abilene. It says it was established by a cattleman as a stock shipping point on the Texas and Pacific Railway in 1881. The city was named after Abilene, Kansas. And if you look down a little bit, it says the town was laid out by Colin J. Stoddard Johnson, and the auction of lots began early March 15, 1881. Abilene was incorporated soon after being founded in 1881. And Abilene's began to set their sights on bringing the county seat to Abilene. And remember on 3:15, that's whenever Pastor had changed his name. And yesterday, a sister had talked about the number 315 and everything. And if you look in the Two Witnesses book on page 193 and 194, Pastor talks about this, the surnaming of Yisrael and so on. He talks about what went on. I encourage you to go and read that. But he talks about it there. And I looked up 1883 in the Strong's, all right, and it means grass, new grass. And it goes to 1877, which means grass, new growth, all right. And if you look over real quick to the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, Isaiah chapter 44, and it's verse 4, and it says, "They will spring up among the grass as willows by the water courses." And it says, "One will say, I belong to Yahweh, and will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand and write, I belong to Yahweh, and will surname himself with the name of Yisrael." All right, so Abilene was established in 1881, and I looked up 1881 in the Strong's, and it means to raise up, all right? And the house of Yahweh is being raised up at this time. And it also goes to Strong's 450, which also means to raise up. It means to arise, raised up again, rise again, risen, stand. If you'll look over to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18, it's found on page 162, Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18. It says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. Whoever will not listen to my words which I speak to him, I will judge him for it." All right? And this also goes to 2476, which means to make to stand, stand, stand firm, standing, and stood upright. And if you, for my last scripture, if you'll turn to Yeremia, chapter 23. Yeremia, chapter 23. And verse 5. It says, "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I'll raise to David a righteous branch, and the king will reign and succeed, and will execute judgment and justice in all the earth." All right? So with that, if everyone will please stand. That's all the time I have. If everyone will please stand. I'll turn it over to Son of Yisrael Abel, the great Deacon Abba Shalom Hawkins.
All right, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Okay, so we're going to get right into this here. You know, there's always a reason, okay? Hope everyone remembers this this placemat here. You know, because this was, this article here, you know, it's a very... this was the 1985. There's a lot of things that occurred in 1985, you know, and this was the beginning of, you know, the persecution that started coming against the house of Yahweh. Okay, Now, let's look at the, we're going to look at the picture of this marquee here, okay? You can see there, pastor and another elder there was standing with that sign whenever that picture was taken. You know, you can see it says, Yahweh is our Savior, okay? Isaiah 43:11. Let's just look at that scripture there. Go ahead and turn over to Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 43. Actually, we'll start at verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor will the flame kindle upon you. Okay? Look at verse 5. He says, fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. Remember that gathering, the gathering taking place right now. They're gathering, Yahweh's gathering his people together, from all the corners of the earth. Look at verse 6. He says, I'll say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called with my name, who I've created for my glory, I have formed. Yes, I have made them. Okay. Look at verse 9. It says, let all the nations be gathered together. Let all the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, so they may be justified, or let them hear and acknowledge this is the truth. And if you we'll read verse 10. It says, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, and my servants whom I have chosen. We know this is talking about Yisrael and Jacob. So you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God all formed, nor will there be after me. He says, I, even I, am Yahweh. Beside me there is no other Savior, okay? And Yahweh was their Savior. Yahweh is our Savior, whenever this persecution has started, And, they were persecuting the house of Yahweh, and even the numbers show it, as we'll get into in a minute. If you look up what it says on that marquee there in Gematria, Yahweh is our Savior. Okay, it's got three numbers there. We'll start out with the first one. It's 2981. Okay. Now, 2981 in Greek, it's to speak. Okay, to speak or dialect. A speech, okay, a manner of speech. And it goes back to 2980, and it means 2980, and it means proclaiming, okay? Proclaimer or proclamation, okay? Things spoken or uttered, okay? And this was a proclamation that they were making there, of how Yahweh was our Savior, okay? Yahweh is the Savior. Look at 2981 in Hebrew. It's got it's the Hebrew word yabol, and means crops, fruit, increase, the produce, or yield. And it comes from the Hebrew word yabal, okay, and it means to bring, brought, carried, okay, to lead, led forth. Okay, remember Jeremiah 23. Let's go ahead and read that. Jeremiah 23, if you look at verse 7, it says, therefore the days will come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the protected place and out of all the and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they will dwell in their own land. Okay, and that's what he's bringing, Yahweh's bringing out those, all the people, who were coming to his house, the refugees, so this work could continue on. And also remember whenever Pastor was led to Abilene, okay? and all the things about Abilene. Remember, whenever he was led to Abilene, so he could, you know, do this work, you know, get Abilene ready, you know, for the work of Yahweh. You know, and that way, later on, we could lead these 2 billion out. Also, that Hebrew word Yabal, okay, that's very important. If you look at the in the House Yahweh Established booklet, it talks about the House Yahweh Established. I think it's on, let's see here, page 70. It talks about that word Yabal and how it ties into Abel, okay? And then says, okay, it says Yabal was developed into the word Abel, which means watercourse, okay? And, you know, it talks about, I encourage you to go back and read this. It talks about the prefix of Abilene and how that word Yabal actually is the word that Abilene comes from. And page 73, it says, the house of Yahweh is being prepared now to take care of a huge gathering that will take place in the territory of Abilene, Texas, okay? This gathering will overshadow the gathering that took place when Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Notice what this is said of in this great gathering which is soon to take place. It has Jeremiah 16:14-16. Okay, but I encourage you to go back and read this. We don't have much time, but also on page 74 shows how that the suffix of Abilene, the word Abel, is the word comes from that Hebrew word Yabal. Okay, so even that ties in the gathering. You know, the gatherings, they're coming to the house of Yahweh. Next number is 1716, and it means to gather together as a brood, okay? To gather as a brood, and, you know, to brood over eggs, or, and I remember if you remember what Yahshua said about Matithiah. Let's turn over to Matithiah. Matithiah 23, and verse 37, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who murder the prophets and stone those who are said to you, oh, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing, okay? And, you know, that's where that comes from, that word, that gathering, you know, and, but we're, you know, Yahweh's gathering together these people these last days to come to his house, you know, to be able to, you know, so we could teach them. So 2 billion people are going to be coming. The next number here, it's number 286. It's lamb, okay? Lamb is a type of innocence with a sacrificial connotation. Okay, we all know who the lamb is. You know, if you look, there was a proofreading or an article the pastor wrote, and on page 11, it's entitled, All Nations, All Religions Need Now to Repent, okay? And if you look on page 11, it says, Yahweh's Passover is a feast of unleavened bread, plus the Lamb's Memorial is tentatively scheduled for April 10th, through 18th of 2017. You need to be at Yahweh's house. Come and behold the Lamb. Okay, and then he gives, if you can turn over to Yochanan. Yochanan 136. Okay, Yochanan 136 is that said, and watching Yahshua, as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of Yahweh. Okay, it's Yahshua. You know, that's that lamb. You know, and now he's the high priest over the house of Yahweh. Okay, you know, so I encourage you to go back and read the House Yahweh Established booklet, you know, pages 70 through 74, and, you know, and look at that, look at how that word ties into Abilene, you know, and the gathering that's coming to Abilene. Okay. That's all I have for right now. If y'all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Pat Benjamin.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom.
May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. All right, here we go again. This is, speaking of gathering, think of information gathering. Getting all the facts, making sure they're correct before we decide, right? All right, so this feast has it not been out of this world? Yes, it has. Here's the cover of the latest prophetic word. If you haven't got yours on the table, looks pretty out of this world too, doesn't it? And no, I'm not just kidding either. This has been out of this world, this feast. This is something I had on the at the Seder. That's pretty out of this world, isn't it? That is very, very beautiful. Very beautiful picture. And we got to see Yahweh Shema floating over here. It's still up there right now. Right? Okay, so no sooner had we got off stage last time. We had the U.S. drop the largest non-nuclear bomb on Afghanistan. If you can move in a little more, please. You see the time there that RT News posted this. This is the mother of all bombs that they dropped. During services, by the way, that this took place. 1648 is when this story was posted. And let's start with that number. And it means, it's this word right here, Gershon. And it means a refugee. And it means to evict, to drive out, to cast out, to expel and evict, to thrust out, expel. You know, think of all the refugees being thrust out of the places they're dropping all these bombs, right? But praise Yahweh, they're moving where? Yeah, they're moving this direction, right? Now, here's an interesting one. Now, I got to show you something before I... This bomb was dropped at 7:32. Let me show you. I like to get things on the record. 7:32 Afghan at this province, the Nangarhar province in Afghanistan at 7:32, which is 10:02 our time because it's 9.5 hour difference. And just to prove that point, I brought this here for you. I loaded this last night. You can see I did it at 9:03. I looked for Nangarhar time, and it was 6:33 their time, 9.5 hours. So 10:02, let's look at it. It means a dart, a javelin, a missile. A missile. And goes to 9:06, and it means to drop, like to drop a missile. Okay? Because that's exactly what took place. Can you get any plainer than that? Okay, then, pastor calls right after that. Couldn't have been much longer. I think it was yesterday, 14 April. Was that yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said the U.S. just successfully tests a new nuclear gravity bomb. This is RT News. Can you move in a little bit more again? Yeah, 1808 was the time on the RT News. By the way, RT News is about the closest to the truth you're going to get out there in the news. But YPN is the best, okay? There's nothing that beats YPN. Okay, so what did I say, 1808? Yeah, okay. It means a branch, of course. A branch. And it means branches, a branch. And it's from this Hebrew word here, dala. And it means to draw. And it's used in Exodus 2. Y'all remember Moshe? His name means to draw out, because remember he was drawn out of the water. That's in Exodus 2:10 for your notes. And is not Pastor Israel Hawkins drawing out of the water right now? 2 billion people. You know, the water is the 2 billion people. It's also the trouble we're facing. Here's 1808 in Greek, and it means to lift up, to remove, lift up. And it's from that word again, arrow. You remember 142, to raise, to lift up, you know, like lift up a banner, raise the tabernacle of David, It's the two numbers, 83 and 59, put together. It's from the Hebrew NASA, and all we all know about to lift up. Houston, we have liftoff. It also means accepted or acceptable, to bring forth, honorable, accept, advance, authority. Remember Genesis 1:26, high position, majesty, raises. Just get all these words in your mind, okay? Keep remembering these things. Now, the other night there was a rainbow scene. Did y'all see that rainbow out there that Yahweh provided? Once again, you know, at the Feast of Passover. Now, if you'll notice, here's a picture of the rainbow. You see that dragon? No, that crocodile is what it is. Pastor called it a crocodile, and there's a reason he called it a crocodile, because that's what it is. You see him, his mouth here, trying to eat up the rainbow, chasing rainbows again, like we're told not to do. You know, persecuting. All right, now, the crocodile in Egypt was both sacred and reviled by the Egyptians. I think in the Ten Commandments movie, Moses called Pharaoh, "You old crocodile." I didn't see that in Scripture, but he used it in the movie. This crocodile, it's associated with the god Sobek, and it's associated with Isis. It's talking about it's a sacred animal, the crocodile's power to snatch. Listen here. The crocodile's power to snatch and destroy its prey was thought to be symbolic of the might of the Pharaoh. Okay? Thought to be symbolic of the might of the Pharaoh. So what time did that appear? Well, it appeared at 7:26. And lo and behold, it means to snatch, to seize, to obtain by robbery, to take by an open display of force, to take by force. And it also means Syrian in the Hebrew. Are they not trying to snatch and obtain Syria by robbery and force and driving out its inhabitants? Also, we'll show you some more pictures here. Now, I told you this is pretty out of this world, right? This feast. So here's another picture taken down at the southeast corner down here by another camera, by the way. These were not all taken by the same cameras. Anybody know what that might be? What could that be? And what's this thing trailing? Well, I can tell you what it's not. It is a UFO because it's not identified. Okay? A UFO is called an unidentified flying object. And whatever that is, we're not able to identify it. So it is a UFO, right? And it's not rain. It was raining outside. We investigated this very thoroughly. This is not rain you're seeing right here. This green object. Okay? Right by the rainbow there. Here's another picture. Right beside it over here, you see this object? Right beside, on the right hand of it in the southeast corner. Everybody see that? UFO? Okay. Here's a close-up of it. Right there. Okay, now, that picture, by the way, was taken at 7:23 p.m. while we were out enjoying the peaceful scene. By the way, the guys that were serving the pizza ran out of pizza. And right when they ran out of pizza and everybody's like, "We need meat to eat," all of a sudden, this rainbow appears. So it gave the guys time to break away to go get the pizza, and everybody's enjoying the rainbow. And there was no murmuring like, you know, they did in Egypt. "We need pizza!" Okay, that was 7:23, if you can zoom in. And it means a stall. You remember Malachi 4:2, the calves released from the stall? Think of that. And it's from what else? 7:17. And it means gathered. All right? Gathered. You know, this word just keeps coming up a little bit too much, don't you think? Turn over to Genesis real quick. Genesis 7:17. And I want to read 7:1 first. It says, "Then Yahweh said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, Come into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. Now go over to verse 17. Or down to verse 17. It says, now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. Okay, it rose high above the earth. Think about that. That uplifting, that exaltation. Think about what Pastor told us the other day about Revelation 11:19 about the ark being seen in Yahweh's house. 7:23, that was the first picture with that green object, and then the one with the white object was at 7:24. And notice this, it means healing and restoration. Healing and restoration. Think of Malachi 4:2, you know. Those who put their trust, if you turn over there real quick, turn over to Malachi chapter 4. On page 727, that's an interesting number. It says in chapter 4, it says, you who reverence my name, verse 2, for you who reverence my name, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings, and you will go out leaping like calves released from the stall. Did we not just see those two numbers? Those same two meanings right there in that same scripture. It means restoration, it means health, recovery, repair. Think of Isaiah 11:11. The great head judge yesterday talked about that setting his hand the second time to recover the remnant. Okay, remember? This greatest gathering. Also, the restoration, Yahshua being retained in the heavens till the restoration of all things. Acts 3:21. Think of Isaiah 58:12. This word repair. The repairers of the breach. The repairers of streets. The restorers of streets to dwell in. Boy, that was a tongue twister. Say that one three times. Health, soundness, wholeness, which means holy, by the way. Perfected. Okay, perfected. All right, now let's look at some other pictures here. This one was taken, by the way, in the exact same spot where the singers stand in the parking lot. And I'm going to remind you of something that took place last Tabernacles, with that beam of light that was seen out there in that same spot. Now, right up here, now you might think these are birds, and we did some examination, and I can tell you right now, those are not birds. Okay? Yeah, what are they? I guess it's called manna. What is it? We'll just call it manna for now, right? It's an unidentified flying object because it's not identified. You see this? Okay? And they are not birds. We looked very closely at these. Now, those were taken, by the way, remember this right here. I'll get back to that. Those pictures were taken at 7:34 p.m. on another phone, by the way. On another iPhone. And it means course, highways, path. And it's from the Hebrew Arak. And it means to wander, to journey, to go, travelers, wayfarers. To travel. And 7:34 in the Greek is this word here, Artemis. And let me see if I can get to... Yeah, it's from this word, to set on the bow. To set on the bow. Well, there was a rainbow out there, wasn't there? And it also goes to 142 again, to raise, lift up, take away, raise up, and it goes to NASA again. Interesting, right? By the way, at the same time that took place, NASA put up something on Drudge about they had just figured out that there may be life on Saturn, I guess. At the same time we were seeing that, by the way, it was appeared on Drudge. Now, this was back at Tabernacles. You see this beam of light right here, right? Coming from the same direction that we're seeing these objects, okay? That was at, by the way, that was at 8:26 a.m. It was right after we were done singing out there. And 8:26, if you remember, it means to beam forth, to shine, to beam upon, irradiate.
It's from 8:27, and it means daylight. You know, the day was just starting to break, by the way. It was in the morning. And a ray of light. A ray of light. Okay? A ray of light. Dawn, break of day. I skipped something. No, I didn't. I hope I didn't. No, I didn't. Okay, great. Okay, so let's look at another picture now. This picture was taken at 7:27 p.m. over the front of the sanctuary right over here, you know, facing east toward that rainbow. You can see it in the background. I just brought you this because I wanted to show you what time it was taken. And here's what was seen. You see that right there? Now remember, there's no reason that would be there because there's no reason for this to be here, no earthly reason, because the sun's in the west, this is the east, and it's not a raindrop. We've thoroughly investigated it. It is really a UFO, truly. And if you notice, it's green, kind of like those comets that go by that they're claiming are ice. Really? Ice lasts that long? This was seen at 7:27, right? And it means arc. Arc. It means arc. By the way, the flood, let me tell you when that took place. Right here. 2349 BY. So I did a little math, and I added the 2349 to the 2017, and you get the 4366. Let me jump to that. 4366 means hiding place, to hide, conceal. Turn over to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 5, on page 434. I got to go fast. And it means, in the time of trouble, you will hide us in your pavilion, in your house, in the secret place. You will hide us. You will set us high on a rock. Think of the rock. Think of the hiding. Now turn over now to Isaiah 26:20. Isaiah 26:20. You can always go back and read this again or go over this sermon. Isaiah 26:20 says, "Come, my people, enter the sanctuary, and I will shut your doors around you. I will hide you, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is passed over." Passed over. Passed over. Passed over. 4366, look at this. In the Greek, it means to burst upon as a flood. As a flood. And it means to beat vehemently. Remember the house built on a rock? The house that was built on sand went down, you know, the Vatican? But the house built on a rock, it's not going down. The gates of hell will not prevail, House of Yahweh. Now, it's from this word here. That word ark, it's from ara, and of course it means gathered, right? I want you to think of Genesis 7:17, Revelation 7:17, showing all the nations, the 2 billion gathered. Think of Zechariah on page 7:17 in your book of Yahweh. This was written, Isaiah 27, or 26, 7:12 BY, where it says, "Come, hide." That was 2,729 years ago, and it means tremble, to be terrified, to quake. You know, these nuclear bombs, they're going to quake, they're going to shake this earth. It means to shudder with terror, to quake and tremble. That's in the Hebrew, and in the Greek it means prevail. It means to prevail against. Remember, the gates of hell will not prevail against the house of Yahweh. Okay, this is the protected place. Now, for my last bit here, in 1996, you remember the comet Hale-Bopp? Well, there was also this comet here, the great comet of 96, called Comet Hayakutuka, I guess. It was seen in conjunction with Hale-bopp. And I want you to notice, okay, Hale-bopp, its closest, it was discovered in 95, seen throughout all of 96, and its closest approach is on 3/22/97. Comet Hiatuka's closest approach was on 3/25 of 1990. Yeah, right here. March 25th. Okay, that was its closest approach. So 3/25, 3/22. Think of that for just a second. And now watch this. These two comets cross paths. They formed a cross. And Pastor talked about this back in 97. When he was in Jerusalem at this place right here, on 3/22, him and some other Kohans were staying in this little villa right here in Jerusalem. And here's the map of where they were staying. Can't get into that now. Somewhere around the Jewish quarter or somewhere. But notice, they both crossed paths in 1997. One crossed it in April 11th, 1996. That was Hiatuka. Hale-bopp on April 11th, 1997. Does April 11th ring a bell? Because it's pointing towards something. The first day of this Passover. Okay? That's all I got time for right now. It's been a blessing and an honor to speak to the great saints of Yahweh. And if you'd all please stand, you are in the protected place. Stay on the ark. Don't get off the ark. Let me gather all my stuff. Man, it's always a mess when I'm done. But you know, I can clean it up. That's no problem. We're all about restoring and cleaning up messes, and so we'll get it done. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If you'd all please stand, I'm going to turn it over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Everyone may be seated. Now, I want to go over first something that came out on RT News this morning, and it truly shows the reach of the Vatican into every person's life. It shows how YADA can extend this brutal authority, this tyrannical control. And this, once again, was reported on RT News this morning, so you can go to RT.com and find this. And it says, Easter Bunny is real. Foster parents lose children after refusing to lie. And it says, two Canadian foster parents had their foster children removed from their homes because they refused to say that Easter Bunny is real. Now notice the Christian couple, they're not Catholic. Remember what Pastor said, there's a difference between these Christians and Catholics. The Christian couple had taken court action saying their rights have been violated. Derek and Francis Baer filed court papers against Hamilton Children Aid Society after the agency, yes, the agency said they must tell their foster children that the Easter Bunny is a real entity. And it goes on to say that we were committed to not lying to our children, Derek Baer says, and adding that they could expect the truth from us and we expect the truth from them. The couple who said they are devoted Christians told the agency, yes, the agency, that they do not endorse Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, as they do not wish to lie to their children. Yes. And in closing, they noted that they do not celebrate Halloween either. So, once again, but that those that scepter, you know, that will depart from YADA here very soon, and righteousness will be shown to this world, will come to pass. Now, when we start off, I want you to notice the Vatican is making a huge showing of this, and this is not for just publicity, it's psychology. They show that there's some citizens from China, even have their Chinese flag there in their hand, thousands of people gathered in the Basilica as these people from China with their flag throw themselves down at the Pope's feet. Literally just with tears and begging and crying, showing how China, yes, China is throwing themselves down at the Pope's feet. And this is psychology. Remember, it's very important. Do not forget China. China has a huge role to play in what's going on right now. And then, of course, the United States, they did drop, as you've heard yesterday and today, they dropped the Moab, or the mother of all bombs, and they dropped that in a mountain region of Afghanistan. But why did they do it? Well, some reports say that a Green Beret was killed and that's why they dropped it. Armid Karzai, who was the former president of Afghanistan, come out and said, we do not appreciate you using our country as a testing ground for your weapons. Well, why are they testing a mountain region? Well, can you guess, where does North Korea test their nuclear weapons? In a mountain region, and they do it underground. Pay close attention to what's being said, because there's a lot of drumming up here. They're going to have to save you from someone killing you, and they might kill you as they save you. That's what they're doing. Then watch very closely with President Obama. President Obama, we're going to show you something from 2016 when he was asked if he thought Donald Trump would become president. And of course, if you remember, President Obama said campaign promises are one thing, but what you do when you get in the White House is totally different. And of course, President Obama made a point in saying that when you're president, this position is important. You have the nuclear codes, you can send people at 21 into war, and you have to keep the banking system alive. You have to keep it up. You cannot hurt the oil or the wine in waging your wars. That's very important. Remember, after that, you're going to see, what did President Trump do with the president of China? Of course, there's a bribe going on here saying that our trade agreement will be better if you help us with North Korea, because North Korea can do absolutely nothing right now without a backer. It's suicide for them to do something. This morning, they pretty much just shown their weapons, their new ICBMs, and they displayed them in a parade, and that's all they've done so far. They need someone to back them. Remember what Malachi Martin said. Russia and China will join forces. Remember what pastors brought out for years showing. When they make these agreements, they break them before they ever made them. All it is, it's a bribe right now trying to take place. And they're also building up to what Japan is saying. Japan is saying that we need to watch North Korea. They probably have sarin gas. We need to do something before they gas the citizens of Japan. They're laying the groundwork to where we have grounds, just like in Iraq. They're going to do something deadly. We need to act now. We don't have time for them to do something. We have to act on them. So watch that very closely. And then also Russia. Russia in Moscow, they called in Syria's foreign minister and Iraq's foreign minister. And remember, they're aligning themselves. They're aligning themselves against this Nimrod system. They're openly showing it because they're trying to bring other countries in. They want China. Malachi Martin says China will join them. Pay close attention to what China does and how these things work out, because as soon as China backs North Korea, the United States has a huge problem. Right now, they can openly go in and do whatever they want to North Korea, but that won't last forever. And then, last but not least, 38 North. That is a very important thing to write down. 38 North. They also call it North 38. That is actually an agency. It's a program that was developed by the United States and South Korea, and it's their job to analyze what takes place in North Korea, to report when the next test is going to take place. Now remember, North Korea just surprised the United States by doing a test of 5 missiles at one time, and for some reason the 38 North didn't notice that. They missed it. But now they're telling everyone, they're putting it on the news, North Korea is ready to test a nuclear weapon. We need to act now. So watch, all these grounds are being laid, and do not think that North Korea has to act first. As soon as America feels secure that they have China, watch what takes place. We've seen it with Iraq. We're seeing it with Syria. And do not forget Revelation 6:8. This authority is given from the beast who has the same authority. America is doing this with authority from the beast. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news.
Pay close attention. What you're about to see is Bible prophecy being fulfilled.
Welcome to another edition of YPN News, bringing you news as it relates to Bible prophecy and foretold by Israel Hawkins. Well, of course, as we've been reporting lately, we've got a war in the news, the issues between the United States and North Korea. Russia's back in the news, as well as it looks like President Trump has changed his stance on some of the things that he was talking about during his campaign. Well, he's kind of going in a little bit different direction as he actually has been
now that he's
put
in office.
That's right, and that sometimes occurs. But we're going to first start off with what's taking place in Rome, because there may not be a large Catholic population in the country of China, but there was definitely a show of support by the followers of the Catholic Church as the Pope greeted and once again kissed babies as he walked through a crowd in Rome. Now, many parishioners were holding miniature flags of China as others cried and crawled to get an audience with him, as you can see from some of this footage.
Now, Catan, that's interesting because, as we've reported in the past, the Vatican and China are not on very friendly relations. In fact, the one thing that the Chinese government had warned the Catholic Church was, do not mess with our religion.
That's right. Well, as the country of North Korea is preparing for yet another nuclear test, the United States is putting on a show of force, releasing a picture of a fully armed aircraft at the Kadena Air Force Base in Japan. And speaking with Fox News regarding the U.S.'s response to rising tensions with North Korea, President Trump said, "We're sending an armada. Very powerful. We have submarines. Very powerful. Far more powerful than the aircraft carrier that I can tell you."
Now, he continued by saying, "We have the best military people on earth, and I will say this," he, referring to Kim Jong-un, "is doing the wrong thing. He's making a big mistake." Now, former CIA analyst Fred Fleets said regarding the U.S.'s recent activities between North Korea, China, and the recent dropping of the U.S.'s largest conventional bomb in Afghanistan, which is the Massive Ordnance Air Blast, or MOAB for short, that the dropping of this bomb sent a message to America's enemies around the world.
He continued saying the Trump administration is trying to undo the perception of American weakness that I think emboldened our enemies worldwide. And I think what happened in Syria, Afghanistan, the Koreans, Iranians, and the Syrians have definitely taken notice.
Regarding that bomb, the U.S. recently dropped the largest non-nuclear bomb in Afghanistan, the target, ISIS. But the impact was not only meant for ISIS, but also for North Korea. When President Trump was asked if he was sending a message to North Korea, he said, "It doesn't make any difference. That problem will be taken care of."
Well, the 21,600-pound bomb was aimed at the center of an ISIS cave complex in Afghanistan. At its 7:32 p.m. local time, detonation would have crushed the life out of any fighters in the caves as its pressure wave rippled out for a mile in every direction and sending a mushroom cloud billowing in the sky. Now, the general in charge in Afghanistan, General Nicholson, said that he used the bomb so that Afghan troops and their American advisors wouldn't have to go in on the ground and clear out the caves. Mm-hmm.
About 600 to 800 ISIS fighters in Afghanistan, most of them concentrated in an area just across the border from Pakistan. Now, the bomb had been moved into Afghanistan during the Obama administration, and the strike had been in the works for months, with the authority to use the bomb being delegated to General Nicholson.
Well, the bomb is used by being unloaded from a parachute from a cargo plane where it detaches from its sled and is guided by a GPS system to its target, which is accurate to within 10 yards. It was specifically developed to attack cave complexes and for its ability to inflict terror.
Well, Afghan's Achin district is where the bomb was dropped near the Afghanistan and Pakistani border. People throughout the land said that they could feel it when the bomb was detonated. Now, the U.S. has been testing the GBU-43 bomb for years, but this is the first time that it's been used. Now, targeting tunnels in the Nangarhar province, where Afghan Ministry of Defense said that dozens of fighters were killed. Now, Commander Nicholson said that this was the right weapon against the right target, and I want to assure the people in Afghanistan that our forces take every possible precaution to prevent civilian casualties.
Although the Afghan government has confirmed that it knew of the attack before it happened, not all in the country are praising the U.S.'s actions. Former Afghan President Hamid Karzai said, "I vehemently and in the strongest words condemn the dropping of the latest weapon, the largest non-nuclear weapon, hashtag bomb," because he tweeted this information out, on Afghanistan by the U.S. military. "It is not the war on terror, but inhuman and most brutal misuse of our country as testing ground for new and dangerous weapons."
Now, if you remember, former President Barack Obama spoke at a U.S. Asia Leaders Summit about the role of a leader of a country. Now, during that speech, he said, "Being president is a serious job. It's hard, and a lot of people count on us getting it right. Well, sometimes it requires you making hard decisions, even when people don't like it, and doing things that are unpopular and standing up for people who are vulnerable and don't have some powerful political constituency."
He continued, "And it requires being able to work with leaders from around the world in a way that reflects the importance of the office and gives people confidence that you know the facts and you're not just going to play the crowds back home, because, of course, they have a crowd back home, too, and you're trying to solve problems."
He concluded talking about the primaries and the things that are said out of emotions that get reported. "But when it comes down to it, the person that gets elected will have the nuclear codes and can order 21-year-olds into a firefight and have to make sure that our banking system doesn't collapse and are not only responsible for the United States, but 20 other countries that are falling apart and are going to be looking for us to do something." So basically what former President Barack Obama was saying is that, you know, it's a little bit different once you get into office, and there's going to be a lot of responsibility that president has, especially with having the nuclear codes and being able to order a strike if necessary.
Right, and it's not just an America-only type of thing, because those responsibilities will affect the United States, but also essentially the whole world as well. So we have our field correspondent Larry McGee to give us some of the latest news and updates in regards to President Trump and some of the different stances that he is now standing on, and along with some other things taking place with Russia in regards to Syria. Larry, what do you have for us?
Newly in office, but apparently already in need of a vacation, President Trump was away at one of his resorts in Mar-a-Lago recently. Between rounds of golf, the president sat to address questions with reporters, one of which was whether or not the recent decision to drop the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan was intended to also send a message to North Korea. To that, the president's response was that he doesn't know if it sends a message, and it doesn't make a difference whether it does or not. North Korea is a problem, he said, and the problem will be taken care of. The president gave hints of the pugnacious Peninsular Nation being a primary issue of concern during the days of his campaign, and has endeavored to work closely with China since his election to bring the feisty republic to heel. The trade-off for China is reportedly a very lucrative trade deal, gift wrapped with both compliments and conditions. If China is unable to do its part in persuading North Korea to acquiesce to U.S. demands, then the U.S. will simply go it alone. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, in reinforcing the same tone of urgency, stated during a conference in Asia last month that the policy of strategic patience has ended. Despite the deceptive allure of a quick fix through force, analysts say there are no easy solutions for the issue, with intelligence reports stoking fears that Pyongyang might be on the verge of conducting its sixth nuclear test. The president has taken to Twitter to say that he has great confidence that China will properly deal with North Korea, and if they are unable to do so, the U.S., with its allies, will. In response, the North Korean vice minister commented that President Trump is always making provocations with his aggressive words. Vice President Pence is due to initiate an 11-day tour of the Asia Pacific. His first stop is slated to be South Korea, where the subject of a military option for North Korea is expected to come up. The president's change of stance on various issues is also coming up, with analysts saying that as opposed to President Trump changing the White House as he had suggested during his campaign, now that he is in office, the White House is actually changing him. As an example, reporters cite a 2016 discussion where the then presidential candidate called NATO obsolete. Fast forward to 2017, the president is now referencing NATO as the bulwark of international peace and security. Last year, the presidential hopeful described China as raping America. A year later, in 2017, President Trump describes his relationship with President Xi Jinping as outstanding. There is Russia, which was a potential friend in 2016, but the president now says that relations between the U.S. and Russia are at an all-time low. In rounding things off, while President Trump campaigned on the idea that America should adopt the policy of non-interventionism, since assuming office, analysts say that President Trump has executed the objectives of the military-industrial complex. Arvin Vora of the U.S. Libertine Party says the incumbent president during his campaign argued constantly that the U.S. should not be involved in Syria and that America should pull out of NATO, which are both very popular opinions among the American people. But now that he has officially taken over the reins, he is advocating military action in Syria and endorsing continued membership in NATO. The major difference, Vora believes, is that the presence that President Trump is now the one that the military-industrial complex is turning to, and so now he is the one who is currying favor. The president's latest decision to strike Syria is being seen as an example of the aforementioned, with Russia condemning the measure as an act of aggression. Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov made the comments at three-way talks held recently between Iran, Syria, and Russia and Moscow to discuss resolving the conflict. At the three-way press conference, all three parties roundly condemned the strike, with Foreign Minister Lavrov stating that breaking international law is unacceptable and that such aggressive actions are aimed at undermining the peace process. Additionally, Russia is calling for an extensive and independent inquiry, and that position is also being supported by Syria's Foreign Minister Walid Mualim. Mr. Mualim stated that the question is knowing why the U.S. would fear an investigation committee. Why did they commit this act of aggression, he said, even before a committee of inquiry was established? Do they want to reduce international relations to the law of the jungle, he asked. Earlier this week, Moscow vetoed a UN Security Council resolution demanding a swift investigation into the chemical weapons attacks in Syria, rejecting claims that President Assad was behind the attacks. For YPN News, I'm Larry McGee. Catan Jeff, back to you.
Well, I guess the U.S. wanting to do a real quick investigation isn't helping their stance any, especially when Russia's wanting to do a thorough investigation. That's leading to more people speculating that this really isn't the Assad government behind these gassing of the people.
You'd think with so many people's lives at stake and military decisions, you want to make sure you've got all the facts.
Right. Well, all eyes are on North Korea as the country gets ready for the Founding Fathers' 105th birthday anniversary celebration. Now, just 24 hours away from the biggest holiday of the year for the North, the U.S. and its allies in the region are on edge, wondering if Kim Jong-un will give the command to go forward with their sixth nuclear test. Now, in past years, the anniversary had been used to carry out such high-profile tests.
The rhetoric has ramped up overnight as one North Korean official called President Trump's policy toward his country more vicious and aggressive than Obama's. The vice foreign minister added his country was prepared to go to war if provoked. He also told the Associated Press the country will go ahead with a nuclear test at any time and place they deem necessary.
Well, the situation is not being taken lightly by the United States. Two American destroyers with Tomahawk cruise missiles are only 300 miles from the nuclear test site. Multiple sources have reported if U.S. intelligence detects a nuclear test is inevitable, the White House is considering a preemptive strike for the first time in history. Now, such a strike could include both missiles and bombs, as well as cyber attacks and special operations.
Well, Secretary of Defense James Mattis told reporters, "We're working with international partners in order to defuse the situation, but the bottom line is North Korea's got to change its behavior. The country has already conducted several missile tests this year. They have already the capability to reach South Korea, Japan, Russia, and Southeast Asia, and it's believed they are also working on a new missile that could reach the west coast of the United States."
Now, the Japanese prime minister is also raising concerns North Korea may be able to send a missile loaded with sarin gas into Japan. Mm-hmm. With such a deadly arsenal and an unpredictable leader, it's unclear what North Korea's next move is going to be. Mm-hmm.
While Pyongyang prepares for pageantry in the southwest of the country, the northeast, North Korea's nuclear site, has been showing signs of being ready for the next nuclear test. In a recent interview with CNN, one military analyst, Joseph Bermudez, explained how observing satellite imagery of the nuclear site had shown him and his colleagues patterns leading up to past nuclear tests. Bermudez is with the monitoring group 38 North and says these patterns lead him to believe another test by the North Koreans could be in the very near future.
Mr. Bermudez described the pattern, saying, "We've looked at this location for several years now, and we see a pattern to activity. We see low-level activity when they are not planning a test, and we see a gradual increase near their north portal. And for the past 2 months, maybe a little longer, we've seen increased activity around the portal." Mm-hmm. Now, this includes the presence of trucks, trailers, the pumping out of water from inside the tunnel. We've also seen equipment coming and going. And, of course, that's where they test these their missiles here. And, of course, we'll talk about a little bit more. But the further, the deeper they go, the more, the bigger explosion they would be able to handle in the mountain.
Interesting. When asked if they can deduct through the satellite photos if the North Koreans are ready for another test, he said, "Everything that we see suggests that they could test at any time that they want to from this point on." Bermudez went on to explain, "This decision to actually test is in one person's hands. That's Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un has to sign an order. It's a very special order, and he's the one that makes the final decision."
But is it the right time to test? Well, Mr. Bermudez says, yes, the timing from the North Korean perspective is ideal. Whether they do or not, once again, dependent upon Kim and how he's reading the international situation. The comments by the Chinese government, obviously the U.S. statements, and the movement of the carrier task force to the area. All of this is going to factor into his decision. But Kim Jong-un is not easily predictable. So Bermudez also says we'll have to wait and see.
Well, Bermudez was asked to explain what the purpose of North Korea's nuclear tests are for. From their own statements, he said, "They are producing and testing warheads for ballistic missiles. There is a natural progression in which you test, especially nuclear weapons." He speculated, saying, "It's likely that they're moving forward in the developing of smaller miniaturized warheads, and they're also trying to combine various fissile materials," that's elements that are able to undergo nuclear fission so that you can have an actual warhead, "and radioactive elements to enhance the yield of the warhead, especially one that is smaller."
Well, once a test has been conducted, just what can be seen from the satellite photos? Since the tests take place underground, Mr. Bermudez shared, "From what we can tell, each test has gone a little deeper or further into the mountain, which the tunnel entrance is at the base. By going deeper and further under the mountain, you put more bulk, more mass above it, and that tends to hide any surface effect." So he's saying basically they can also hide it from their NOAA. They must know that the U.S. and other countries are watching them from the air. So they're talking about hiding it, and he said, which they do intentionally, of course, "So we will not understand the level of their technology." So they do want to be secretive about their tests.
Right. He continued, "It also prevents the escape of radionucleotides, which are the way we sniff the air to see what they actually did. They've been relatively good at this in the past tests. Now, if they do a test or if they do test a hydrogen bomb or a much larger bomb than the previous ones, there's a possibility that we might see some surface disturbance. You might see a cave-in on the mountain that's right above it, or you might see landslides, you know, things of that nature.
That's right.
Well, when he was asked how close Kim Jong-un is to having combined his ballistic missile with a successful nuclear-tipped warhead, Bermudez was uncertain. He explained the difficulty in accomplishing such a task by saying a nuclear warhead ballistic missile undergoes tremendous stress. He said when you launch the missile, it vibrates intensively. Then there are excessive G-forces pushing it down. Then when the engine cuts off, there's deceleration and there's negative G-forces, and as it re-enters, there's tremendous heat and vibration. This is a real challenge. So they're still unsure how far Kim Jong-un and all his technology and testing has got.
Yeah, because it's not just making a nuclear warhead and then sticking it on a rocket. There's a lot of variables to consider. Well, in previous tests, the monitoring group has not seen evidence that North Korea has made this kind of achievement. The demonstration of that would be very disconcerting, Bermudez concluded. He and his colleagues at 38 North correctly predicted the last nuclear test carried out by North Korea in September of 2016. Now everyone is watching to see if this sixth test will take place and the outcome surrounding it.
Whether or not North Korea decides to go ahead with their nuclear test, one thing's for sure, the nations are getting further and further from peace. The nuclear bombs that can darken the sun started in 1934, which means this generation is near its end. Now, the House of Yahweh was also established in the same generation and is now gathering people before the great one-hour burning. Don't miss out on the greatest gathering that has ever taken place for mankind. Contact the House of Yahweh, and don't forget, when you do, request your free copy of the Prophetic Word magazine and monthly newsletter. Here's how.
To contact the House of Yahweh, you can write them at the House of Yahweh, P.O. Box 2498, Abilene, Texas, 79604. You can call them at 1-800-613-9494. Or visit any of their websites at www.yahweh.com, www.yisraelhawkins.com, www.yahwehsbranch.com. You can also visit our website at www.ypnnews.com. You can email them at info@yahweh.com. And for all calls outside the United States, please dial the number on your screen. And of course, don't forget the latest study reference to the Holy Scriptures produced by the House of Yahweh, the Yisrael Says and Ask Yisrael programs. And you can find that online free by going to www.yisraelsays.com and www.askyisrael.com.
Well, don't go anywhere. Up next is Yisrael Hawkins explaining Bible prophecy to you and what is coming next for this world. For all of us here at YPN News, I'm Jeffrey Heimerman.
And I'm Ketan Alexander.
Thanks for watching.
At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hey, shalom, everyone. We still got a crowd. Yeah. Praise Yahweh. Oh, it's wonderful. You may be seated. The world is becoming a dangerous place. The House of Yahweh is becoming a protected place. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Rest assured that Yahweh is going to protect this work. Yahweh is the one that told you. Yahweh is the one that told you that this world would be in the shape it's in right now, with the bombs, the fighting, the wars, the famine, diseases, and the deception coming forth from the Vatican, bringing these wars about. Yes, they're behind it. They're the ones that's got their authority from Satan, as Revelations 12 shows. The dragon gave them their authority to do this. They've given the United States authority to do this. The parking lot was exactly opposite from from the world today. That was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I know many of you were there. I know all of you weren't, but we had a crowd in that parking lot this morning. I kept asking, "What's going on out there?" And they was taking pictures, and I said, "What? What are they doing?" Well, they didn't know, but they was taking pictures. And then they started singing that song, and that song was perfect. I'm telling you, it was absolutely perfect. I said, I think we should put that at the end of that this song film that they're putting together. And they got some more that it's going to be a surprise. You're going to really cheer when you see this this next one. And but this crowd that was there in the parking lot, if we got those pictures and can fade them in and out, you know, that's going to be the finishing touch. Yahweh and Yahshua, I said, they're sitting on a sea of glass watching all of this. Big smiles are on their face. Praise Yahweh. We're on the top of Google, at the top of Google this morning. And the articles they ran, it seems hard to believe, but this is a weekly Sabbath. And this weekly article that we're putting in the newspapers, there was, at the time I was sent this information, and I don't think we get it update because I think the ones that get it is in the audience. But the total this morning, early this morning, about 6:30 or so, there was 88. This was up to 88,268 news medias running this thing. Yes, running this article. Famine is on the rise, and Israel Hawkins challenges all religious and political leaders to mend up and admit they are responsible in new open letter this week. Praise Yahweh. And the Google, what makes this so interesting is that there were several articles on famine. Sorrow in Somalia, famine on the rise, along with U.S. military force. That's the second on the list of Google today. The third one from us is Pittsburgh Post Gazette, Sorrow in Somalia, Famine on the Rise. And then the fourth one also, 2.2 million Yemen children lose to famine, close to famine, 70% rise in those killed over RT, this is an RT article. So these places, the reason that we're not being hit here in the United States with the same thing is Yahweh's protection for His work. Now you can see this. He shows that the United States is going to be the strongest. And he says, in the last days, I'm going to establish my house in the chief of the nations. He didn't name that chief for nothing. The strongest, and as that number shows, it's the strongest, it's unusual, it's super, and Yahweh made it that way. That is, he allowed it, prophesied it, guided certain things to bring it about. Well, I hope you remember the last sermon, and we were talking about the scepter and how we have inherited this scepter. Yahshua inherited it by living righteously, and of course that's he inherited it. He lived righteously. He lived a perfect life. He practiced righteousness, as you're doing today. And of course, he was chosen then as the scepter holder, the scepter of righteousness. He lived it, he earned it, and it's been given into his hands now, and that is in the courts of heaven. It hasn't been given up by Yada, and there's going to be quite a fight over this on earth, but it's been decided in heaven that Yahshua qualified for this scepter. The original scepter was righteousness. Yada was given that. Yada has failed. The 12 tribes of Israel has failed, as Genesis 49 showed they would. They have developed the nuclear bombs, and that's the threat today. But that threat is not going to hold. They're getting more callous to it all the time. And, of course, the things that's taking place now with North Korea, this scenario was brought forth by Caspar Weinberger and also Malachi Martin, that any one of these nations that use the petrodollar and turn from using that petrodollar can bring about this war. They're not going to stand for it, and Yahweh shows that in Scripture. Hurt not the oil and the wine. In Genesis 1:26, you got to remember this now. The plan was to make mankind, Genesis 1:26, Yahweh's plan is to make mankind in his image. Yahshua was made into Yahweh's image and likeness by practicing righteousness and qualified for it. Chapter 3:22, mankind turned from Yahweh under leadership of Satan, under leadership of the Vatican, that means God worshipers. Cain was a God worshiper. He taught God worship. That means he was Catholic. Catholic means universal. Universal means they worship all the gods of the universe. Yahweh said, I don't know how many times, he said, I turned them over to worship the host of heaven. That's what they chose, so I allowed them to do so. Now get this, I allowed them to worship these gods. Are you listening? Everybody, listen. I allowed them to worship, serve these gods. Yahweh allowed this to show them what God worship will bring. Cain, they have all gone the way of Cain. That's what Yada said. All the world has gone the way of Cain. The scepter of lawgiver to the earth was given to Yada, and he brought forth God worship. The two witnesses are prophesied for the last days. Now, get this in your mind now. Listen to me. The two witnesses are prophesied for the last days to bring forth the message. This is in Isaiah 43, 44, and 45, that before me there was no gods formed. Before me there was no gods formed. Now, obviously that doesn't sound right because it wasn't translated right because they didn't read what it's talking about, but it's talking about his creation. Before my creation, there was no gods formed. And after my creation is finished, there will be no gods. Now that's the message that the two witnesses are supposed to bring forth in the last days. From the time it was taken away, the tree of life was taken away from mankind, it has not been given back to mankind, but now Yahshua has qualified to bring it to mankind because he is the Son of Man. He's qualified to bring this scepter of righteousness, bring it to the Son of Man. Because he is the Son of Man, he can bring this righteous scepter back to them. He qualified for it by living it. You can't take a dummy that refuses against it, that disobeys the very orders that the scepter stands for, and put them over something like the Catholic Church they've rejected, YADA has rejected, everything that belongs to righteousness, every form of righteousness. You can't take him and give him the scepter of righteousness and tell him to bring it to the universe. He doesn't even know what it says. So it was taken away from mankind. That's shown in chapter 3. Totally taken away. The tree of life, the scepter of righteousness, was taken away from them, mankind. It's given to YADA to show what a mess he's going to make of it, because they rejected, the 12 tribes rejected Yahweh's scepter of righteousness. They took the part of it that gives them authority to give these laws, not to change them. They disobeyed that law. In fact, the Yahweh says, cursed is everyone who changes one of these laws. They bring curses upon themselves. That's what Yeshua said. Well, Yeshua qualified for this scepter. It's been allocated to him, granted to him in the courts of heaven. He's qualified for it, qualified to teach it, qualified to bring it to Yahweh's kingdom, to bring mankind to the image and likeness of Yahweh, to fulfill that. Now, that's where we stand right now. Now, YADA doesn't accept this, and Yeshua said in Matthew 24, we'll cover this, we'll read it, but Yeshua said in Matthew 24, many are going to resist the authority of Yahweh. The authority, well, maybe we better read it now and then come back to it later. But Matthew 24, Matthew 24, he says, verse 5, and many will come against my authority. Well, what authority was he talking about? The scepter. The scepter that he has inherited, as we see in Hebrews 1. You see that? Many will come against this. The many. One of the prophets spoke of this many as being led by demons. My name is many. My name is many. Of course, in Revelation says that this is demon worship that they will not repent of. Well, Genesis 3:22, it was taken away from mankind, so he could not partake of it anymore, because they had to have a certain teacher who lived it, who would qualify for this. Are you listening? They had to have a teacher to qualify for this and prove to heaven and earth. Remember Deuteronomy 30. I've set before heaven and earth. I've set this before you. They're going to witness what I'm doing. So someone had to live this, qualify for it, build a kingdom. In the last days I will establish my house, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell is prevailing right now, but they won't much longer. Their time is up in this generation, as Yeshua said. But you notice that now, many will come against my authority. My authority is finally given to us in heaven, because he gives it to us. He tells, go teach this. That's what he's telling you right now. That's our command. That's our ordained position right now in this whole scenario that started 6,000 years ago. We are the finishing work of Yahweh's kingdom. That should thrill a lot of people, I would think. And praise Yahweh. In Genesis now, 49, We see this scepter that's given to Yada. We see all the 12 tribes here for the last days, verse 1, pointed out to us, and the evil that they were going to put in the microorganism chain of events that govern your body. What you feed it is what comes out of it. That's the way your body is made. Your DNA is all a record of what you've done, what you're prone to do in the future unless you repent and make a turnaround, a complete turnaround. This year is that turnaround. That's what it means. 2017 actually means that. If you want to look the number up, there's a lot been brought out on it already by the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins. But here in verse 1 of Genesis 49, we see he tells you when this would be, the last days, the same time as the nuclear bomb. That's the last days as the Savior who is teaching us right now. He's our high priest. So he says, he shows you that this nuclear bomb in the last days, he's speaking to us when he says that. There's going to be a bomb that can darken the sun. And they're showing off these bombs. This was not even a nuclear bomb that they said, if you're standing 26 miles from that explosion, it would feel like a major earthquake 26 miles away. And that wasn't even nuclear. Nuclear bombs, they got nuclear bombs that could destroy the state of Texas. That's what they claim. A nation the size of France. One nuclear bomb. That's what they've got in their power right now. And Yeshua says they're going to have this. They're going to have nuclear bombs. Yeshua tells his house this. He doesn't tell his house, but he tells his messenger to tell his house. And he gives him the scepter and tells him to teach it. Now that I've already covered, but we'll cover it again because you've got to understand that in order to see this great plan that you're a part of here. Well, in the last days, the scepter will not depart from Yada. You see that? It won't depart from Yada. It's given to him. They are, and he tells you the character that they had, what they're going to bring to all the lands of the earth in this time period. To everyone on earth, their blood, floating in their blood, is in every person on earth. It's in you. You, and Yahweh said, but you must overcome it. If you will overcome it, then you will be acceptable for my kingdom. That's what he told Cain. Cain didn't want to overcome. And of course, his bloodline is in you too. We all came from him. We all came from Adam. We all came from Cain. The same bloodline. And Yahweh shows you this breeding right here in this chapter. You really need to study this. But the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff from between his feet until he comes to whom tribute belongs. Well, he has come. He changed the world. They changed it from BC, took it away from his name, and set another one in its place, a God in its place. We are setting it back. It's BY. It's before Yeshua, and it's after Yeshua, AY. He comes to whom tribute belongs. Tribute, of course, is your tithe. The tithe was set by Abraham as giving it to a righteous teacher, priest, and teacher, and king. Remember that? Abraham set your example. Abraham, if you're his truly his children, Yahshua said, yes, I know you're his descendants. He said, I know this. But if you were truly his children, you would be following the works of Abraham, giving your tithe to support the work that Yahweh has chosen and put his name on top of it, stamped it with his name. Belongs, and the obedience. Now here's the second one. Here's the second thing that has to be accomplished, and it's going to be accomplished through you, but it will be accomplished the same time that this bombs and everything that is shown is also increasing that can burn the earth in 1 hour. At the same time Satan is doing the worst to mankind, we are doing the best to mankind, and we're bringing forth this gathering, the greatest gathering that's ever taken place. Much has been brought on it, this feast. We're bringing this forth right now to show these people all over the world. That's where it's going. All over the world, we're reaching people in every nation, and they're contacting us. So we know the number is building. At the same time now, let me show you a trick of the Catholic Church. Don't lose your place there. Don't turn. But here is an article that, oh, that's China. Don't want that one. Here it is. Pope Francis was given orders by the Vatican, orders Vatican archives to reveal, now get this, quote, God's name. See, they can't even be honest in this. Well, this is what the headlines say. Pope Francis orders Vatican archives to reveal God's name, ending centuries of secrecy. You know why they're doing it? They say that their switchboards are bogged down from people calling, wanting to know, is his name really Yahweh? And they come out with this lying deception now. They come out with this lying deception saying, yeah, that's the Hebrew name for God. Well, Satan has always been a grandmother of lies and deception. And she's still doing it, even though they're revealing the name. They spell it wrong, of course. Let me show you the way they spell it. Here it is. They spell it Y-A-W-E-H. But anyway, they're getting close. See, they always get close with their deception, but they stay further enough away to keep the people deceived. But they are revealing now and come out with this and showing how they kept this hid for all these many centuries, see? And now, because of demand, the people are saying, we want to know, why are you hiding it? If this is his name, why don't you come out and tell the people? And they're falling away and leaving the Catholic Church. And they're going to be, where these big numbers are building. This is the greatest gathering to ever take place in history. And it's building, still building right now. Well, here we see this now in Genesis 49 and verse 10. This is the second scenario here. And the obedience, see, it's going to stay in Yada's hands. He until he comes to whom tribute belongs, that was Yahshua. And the second condition, the obedience of the nations is his. Now, if you remember, Yahweh says, set at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, in his plan, he has it to where the Son of Man will make this. Yahweh will guide it. Yahweh teaches us how. Yahweh tells us when it's going to be. But we're the ones that do the work. And we're the ones that Yahweh is seeing to it. It's going to get credit in heaven, in the heavenly courts. This is my house, the house of Yahweh, he says. And we're on trial. We're being seen by heaven and earth right now, bringing forth this message that we now have up on a banner. That banner says, Yahweh is our righteousness. Oh, it's a beautiful sight, and gives the scripture in Jeremiah. The banner that Yahweh says his house would lift up against these nations, and especially lifted up for all of Texas here to see. Well, eternal life now will not be given until these two things are accomplished. The scepter is given to Yada, who brings all evil God worship service, as shown in Genesis 49, the whole chapter of 49. In the last days, as Yahshua showed us, the last generation, where wickedness is allowed to survive up until this last generation, the last part of this last generation. So turn over to Matthew now, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and notice here verse 3. Now, you we're standing right now with the scepter. We're teaching the scepter. We're teaching the scepter of righteousness. We have inherited that. We are qualifying right now to bring this kingdom into full force. Revelations shows us that the nations are angry. At the same time, we're bringing forth this scepter of righteousness to Yahweh, that Yahweh has given us. That's our job. We're here now, and notice in Matthew 24, and notice first verse 3. Now, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" And he's talking about the destruction of the temple. That where the beast would the beast that Daniel saw would actually destroy the temple. Got it? Hey, look at that. Wow. Let me see if I'm... It gives the scripture, "Behold, the day has come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch, and a king will reign and succeed." Now that's Jeremiah showing this prophecy that we're going to succeed in this thing. The righteous branch is the, and the king will succeed. The righteous branch has the scepter now, and we've got to prove, the whole house of Yahweh have got to prove that we can bring this forth and do it. Now, no, we can, because the prophet says we will. 24 verse 3, and he says, privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" He's talking about the destruction of the temple, which Yahshua said is going to remove every stone, which they did, took all of it to Rome, and nobody knew where it was, or the book of Yahweh, or anything. We started bringing it out years ago. We're letting the truth be known now, and the people are swamping the Catholic Church with telephone calls and demanding it, otherwise it wouldn't be given. Now, it was in that same manner that the King James Version of the Bible was allowed to be taught, and of course allowed to be printed, and of course the plagues that came upon the Catholic Church, as they did in Egypt, the plagues that came upon the Egyptians, was what forced this to be done. It weakened the Catholic Church, and the ones for the names were spared, for the printing of these books were spared, but they still kept the original hidden. And they reveal in this article that I'm going to use in a newsletter, they reveal in it that where they had it hidden, and they finally brought it out, and the Pope, under the Vatican's order, says, "You better reveal this and us try to make out like that you know, this is just the name of the God, the name of your God. Give us gods. Well, this is the name of your God, but go ahead calling him God or Lord. Well, this is their lies, of course, so be prepared for it. Well, coming in verse 3, the last part, you're coming. When's the sign of your coming? Well, I just read it to you now. I just read it to you in Genesis 49. That gives it early, doesn't it? Genesis 49. He won't come. Yeshua's not going to come till we get our job done in the midst of the greatest tribulation ever. Ever in the 6,000 years of mankind. Yeshua answered and said unto them, be on guard that no one deceives you. That's the first thing. Many will come against my authority. My authority is given to his house. The scepter is given to us. They're coming against the house of Yahweh. But they won't prevail against the house of Yahweh. That was verse 5. The rejection of Yahshua's authority. Look at Revelations. I know my time is up, but I'm going to give you two more scriptures here. Revelations, remember that authority now. Authority. My authority. They're going to come against my authority. That name means authority. My name. It means my authority. Well, here in Revelations 12, the very last chapter, and behold, I come quickly. And when Revelations, when this is coming to pass, these are the things that come to pass in this generation. I was born in 1934, and this scepter was given to us to build the house of Yahweh, that those prophecies we've all fulfilled. Many of them were brought out this morning. But he says, blessed are those that keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life. See, that's our job. Practicing the laws of Yahweh gives us the right to this tree of life, the scepter that we have inherited of righteousness. The scepter of righteousness that we have inherited to teach. For outside are the dogs, the whoremongers, the sodomites, all of this. Now, verse 16 now. For I, Yahshua, have given authority to my messenger, the authority that he says the world is going to reject. Many will come against my authority. This is the authority that they are rejecting. This authority is going to grow for the house of Yahweh. It's going to diminish for Yada. And I'll show you why in the very next time I speak. But I, Yahshua, have sent my messenger to do this, notice, in the house of Yahweh. And then he tells you, I am the root. I've covered this the other day. If you didn't get that, please get it and listen. Go through that tape and study those scriptures. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David. Now that should bring to mind Isaiah 11. David's father was named Yeshaya. Yeshaya, there'll be a root, leaven. Isaiah, let's turn it to it. I'll end with that scripture. Isaiah 11. I am the root, he says, and the offspring of David. In Matthew 1, he gives you Yeshaya as the father of David. That's the first chapter of Matthew. Yeshua says, I am the root and offspring of David. There, Isaiah 11, verse 1, there will come forth a rod. This is the scepter, the righteous scepter, out of the stem of Yeshaya. That's the father of David. That was Yahshua inheriting that rod that scepter, and a branch will grow out of his roots. Well, Yeshua said, surely you're getting this now. Yeshua says, I have sent my messenger to testify to you these things. Then he identifies himself here for the purpose of showing you, referring back to these prophecies. The prophecies. I am the root and the offspring of David. There will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yeshua or Yeshaya. That's Jesse in the King James Version. And the branch will grow from that, from those roots. And that branch is spoken of from beginning to end in the Holy Scriptures. You are, brethren, that house of Yahweh that Yahweh has built in these last days, building in these last days, the gathering, the great gathering that is taking place. You're going to prove to heaven and earth that this is going to be carried through by the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the house of Yahweh. We will forever. Oh, okay. All right, here it is. Here is the banner. Now, above it is the Ten Commandment billboard, and now hangs the olive branch. And there's actually a lot of prophecy right here in this sign, but most people won't know it until we point it out to them. But this right here is a great prophecy, this olive branch. And then, of course, it talks about the branch here, and but there's more in this branch than you see right here that's in the prophecies. I know you're all familiar with that. And Yahweh our righteousness, Yahweh our righteousness. Righteousness, 1 Yochanan 3, 4, 7, 8, and 10. And then we give Jeremiah 23, 5 through 8. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Stop and get pictures. Be careful, don't get run over if you go over there. There's a lot of traffic on that 603. And most of them speeding. They're in a hurry for some reason. I love you. Yahweh bless you.